before we get going, here's the bit where I remind you that nothing we discussed should be considered as investment advice. This conversation is for informational and hopefully entertainment purposes only. So, while we hope you find it both informative and entertaining, please do your own research or speak to a financial advisor before putting a dime of your money into these crazy markets. And now, on with the show. What you're about to hear is a special preview of the most recent episode of The Endgame, as Bill Fleckenstein and I welcome Jim Stack of Investec Research to the podcast for an excellent discussion about previous bubbles, the lessons learned from both Japan in the 1980s and the tech boom of the 1990s, as well as a look inside Jim's proprietary technical indicators that have allowed him to sidestep many major corrections for almost five decades. The full conversation is available to subscribers to the copper and silver tiers of my website, grant-williams.com. So, if you want to listen to a rare conversation with one of the quiet stars of investment analysis, head to grant-williams.com.
Jim, thank you for joining us on The Endgame. And one of the things that we have been trying to explore with thoughtful investment people that we know is how might this period of money printing end? Obviously, there's a lot of different ways it can end. I don't think anyone thinks it can go on forever, but I think Wall Street and the public have been pretty convinced there's no adverse consequences of that. And despite the writings that you have, I read your issues whenever you publish them. I can see that you're kind of concerned about some things, but I haven't noticed you really talk about how this period may end. And have you given it much thought? Do you have any insights on that? And just open-ended question.
Actually, I would say that I'm lying awake at night worrying about this market more so than any time since perhaps the late 1990s. I think there are differences today, but there are striking parallels, including all the tangential, really hyper, nutty stuff like what's going on in Tesla and what's happened with Signal Advance being mistaken for the wrong company. I mean, the speculative nuttiness. People look back today and they look back at the 1990s, particularly younger investors, and they say, how could anyone have been so foolish to buy into all this stuff and all these dot-com bubbles? And yet they look at today and they don't see the problem. Which goes back to the old adage that we talked about in the late 90s is that a bubble is invisible to those inside the bubble. And I think that the other unfortunate aspect about speculative bubbles is that they're only definitively recognized in hindsight. Back then in the late 90s, we were very defensive too early, as many market historian analysts were, and those who had a high degree of respect for risk. And we didn't know how to play in it. And that's the difficulty, is when you get into a period like this, how do you invest in a market that seems to endlessly go up? In the late 90s, we were in extreme cash. We were 85-90% cash. We went to our money management clients on our money management side and said, we're going to waive all of your fees simply because we don't know how to play in this. And our clients stayed loyal. And in the aftermath, all of those clients are still on board today. And that's the positive aspect of it. From a research standpoint, there's a lot of differences, but there's a lot of parallels when you go back from today to the late 90s and what happened in Japan in 1989. So we've got lots to talk about today.
Yeah, we sure do.
Well, I should have set this up beforehand, and that is, for anyone who doesn't know, I think I've been probably taking your service, Jim, since the mid-90s. And one of the things that I really was sort of awed and really respect about your work and your view is you recognized the danger, you caught the upside as well as anyone could who also avoided the downside. So somehow the combination of your technical work and your indicators that you use and your sort of common sense has allowed you to navigate, you know, this, what do we call it, the 25 years worth of activist central bank era, as well as anyone that I'm aware of. So how do you try to balance those things, the sort of the fundamental versus your indicators? You know, I know you're carrying some cash now. Maybe you could kind of illuminate that a little bit for folks.
Yeah, a lot of my or our philosophy at Investec Research comes back from my indoctrination in the market, which was back in 1973, 74, which turned out to be the worst bear market since the Great Depression. And I was a cocky young engineer working in IBM in research and development. So I had the world by the tail. And for a very bright young engineer to lose half of everything you put into anything you bought was an eye-opening experience. And then it was a life-changing experience. And I never lost that respect for risk after that. We started the research firm when I was a project manager with IBM at that point, and decided to leave and start the financial research firm in 1980. And the first thing we did was go down in the basement libraries of the universities, hired graduate students, and went back and actually went into the archive articles from those past bear markets, going all the way back to and including 1929. So basically, I had my experience from 73, 74, which was painful and eye-opening, but I wanted to learn about those past bear markets of the late 60s, 69, 70, and 66, the 62 small crash, and as well as 1929, because that was a phenomenon that most investors never didn't live long enough to recover from. So what we do is we look at the technical aspect of the market. There are certain technical tools that are more reliable in telling you and keeping you in gear with the market. I'm not a big fan of wave analysis or different tangential sentiment indicators. I think are very misleading, because they never peak at the same level twice. But there are technical tools that tell you whether or not you should be invested up to a certain level. And the other aspect is, of course, the monetary side. And my monetary side goes back to someone you will remember, and that's, of course, Marty Zweig. Mm. He is the one who brought the adage to the table, never fight the Fed. And at no time in history has that ever been more true than in the past 2 years, ever since December 2018, when basically the Fed tightening, you know, gradually incrementing rates higher, all of a sudden had this effect on the market. It was the worst December in history, and the Fed panicked. And from that, it's been one panic to another with the Fed, to where by right now they're basically following the Central Bank of Japan principle. Provide enough liquidity and you support and you try to support anything. And that's my concern today, is that if I look at it historically, you opened with the question, how is it going to end? And I think the clear answer is that it's going to end badly. Now, what that means is that you have to have a strategy that allows for that, prepares for that, and hopefully keeps one foot in the door. So that I think we've seen at times in the last few years that when the music looks like it might stop, that exit door gets very crowded very quickly.
Jim, let me ask you something you said there. I find really interesting, because I like you. I came into the markets just before the 87 crash, and so that was really my formative experience. I had the run up in the Japanese equity market, which is where I started my career. So I had this speculative blow off. Then I had the 22% drawdown in a day. And that colored my experience.
The full conversation is available to subscribers to the copper and silver tiers of my website, grant-williams.com.
Nothing we discussed should be considered as investment advice. This conversation is for informational and hopefully entertainment purposes only. So, while we hope you find it both informative and entertaining, please do your own research or speak to a financial advisor before putting a dime of your money into these crazy markets.